I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry, and you're listening to episode 4. Welcome back. Today, my guest is Clemmie Hooper, and I am really excited to have her on as a guest, not because she's got over 340,000 followers on Instagram, but because she is just an incredible lady, an incredible midwife. She is the author of the book, How to Grow a Baby and Push It Out, and she's a mum of 4. So Clemmie came round to my house, she doesn't live too far from me, and we had a couple of cups of tea. And all my podcasts seem to revolve around having cups of tea. That's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? I really enjoy chatting to her. In the past, I've interviewed her for magazine features when I've needed a midwife expert to chat to. And I've always found her just so easy to listen to. She's great at explaining things when it comes to birth and pregnancy. And I could, like I say in our interview, I could just listen to her talking about this stuff until the cows come home. She was really great chatting. I really wanted to know about her experience of birth, because in her book, she has a lot of birth stories from other women, but I wanted to find out what her 3 or 4, it was kind of undecided how many births she's been through. And yeah, I just really enjoyed chatting to Clemmie, and I really hope you enjoy listening to it. So welcome, Clemmie. So nice to have you on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So yeah, so we're sat here in my living room.
Yeah.
I've got an Insta sensation in my front room, everyone.
It's pretty... I was talking about the actual room. I said, this is your Instagram room.
Well, yeah, my living room is an Insta sensation in its own right. But so yeah, we're kind of like doubling up on the Insta famous here, aren't we?
Don't call me an Insta sensation.
Do you kind of cringe at all of that?
Yeah, really cringe. And I just don't know what to do when I get recognised now.
What, I mean, does that happen often? Do you...
Every day.
Really?
Certain places, or I'll get like a DM from someone and they'll be like, I saw you in Sainsbury's.
It's that thing, isn't it, where they tell you afterwards?
Yeah, and I'm almost like, oh. Yeah, this week I was in town, as in London, twice. Just once this week, and I was spotted 3 times.
Where's the most embarrassing place that you've been spotted?
Doctor surgery. Did you ever hear this story?
No, tell.
I did I did a photo thing with a load of other mums who are writing. So Harafogen was there, Katie, Sarah Turner, our mumsy mum, me and Giovanna Fletcher, and one other person. Oh, Jenny Scott. Oh, yeah. From Mother's Meeting.
Oh, was it an OK magazine shoot?
Hello.
Oh,
it was Hello. So it was like a Mother's Day thing.
Yeah.
Good fun. And then it came out, yeah, their turnaround's quite quick, isn't it? So it came out the week of Mother's Day, and I was in the doctor's waiting room about to go for my smear test, joy, and this old lady was like chatting to me, because I had the twins and they're obviously quite appealing to old ladies, and she was reading the magazine and she was like, is this you, love? And I was like, yes, it is. And then my doctor called me in for my smear. But I reckon that was less embarrassing than being recognised whilst my GP is in my smear.
Absolutely.
Oh, hang on, let me put the speculum in. Oh yeah, I know who you are.
But I think what a brilliant thing for that old lady. Like, you probably made her day. I mean, how often are you sat in the doctor's surgery reading a magazine, look up, and there's the person in the magazine?
I felt like I'd made it. So that's quite embarrassing. It's quite hard sometimes when you're with the kids, because then the kids are like, does she follow you on Instagram? How does she know you? Are you famous, mummy?
Yeah.
And then Anya, who's older, just rolls her eyes and is like, oh, come on, let's go.
Do you ever get like pregnant women running up and asking you questions like, oh, so how do I massage my perineum?
No, I think they're quite, I think, like if I do a book signing or an event, then when they come and like meet me to sign the book, then they might go, can I just ask you a quick question? But not like randoms in the street.
That must be so nice though, because you really are probably, you know, I imagine viewed as this warm, lovely source. Aww. Of mid, I mean, I, you know, we kind of know each other kind of from a few years back. I don't know if you remember, I used to interview you, so I used to write the odd kind of feature for like Mother and Baby magazine, and you were my go-to midwife. And the reason that I always kind of rang you up and said, Clemmy, can I interview you again for this feature? Was because I really felt like, you know, all the health professionals and, you know, midwives that I've interviewed, you were just, you were so, I could listen to you talking about this stuff for hours.
I used to interview you waiting to go in and do like a visit on a postnatal mum. And I remember doing a lot of interviews like that. Oh, that's really nice. I think a lot of health professionals have hidden behind the kind of barrier between like patient, you know, there's so many rules that we have to stick to. And also I think, you know, people like Dr. Range, I mean, look what he's doing. He's a practicing paediatrician. He works at some.
He works near here.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure, but there's definitely one of the hospitals around here. That I know mums who have taken their kids to hospital.
And met him.
And Dr. Range is there. And they're a bit like, oh.
Yeah, so I guess I'm getting recognised at work now. That's weird. Like, I can kind of, I got recognised twice, in town this week in Coz and other stories. That's kind of fine. I do get caught off guard, but someone will come up to me. And I still expect people to go, oh, do you know where that shop is? And then they're like, can I just follow you on Instagram? And, you know, I love what you do. It's at work is getting a bit more tricky.
Yeah, that must be really weird.
Really weird. I had a delivery on Tuesday and the baby needed help when it was born with breathing, so like the whole team from the neonatal unit come in, and loads of them come in, like six come in and everything, and we're working the baby is absolutely fine. And then that evening I got home and I got a message from one of the nurses that had come in, and she was like, I was really starstruck when I came into that delivery room and I saw it was you. And that is like, God, I'm in proper work mode.
Like you're not even thinking about Instagram.
So I thought it was good that she didn't say anything at the time, obviously, and she just messed me up. Yeah, it's weird. The work one's getting weirder.
Yeah. So tell me about your births, because obviously you've written this amazing book about, you know, to help and prepare other women for their pregnancy and their birth. But what were your three births?
Yeah, I know. How many births?
Four kids, three births.
Well, I guess I pushed four times.
Yeah, you did, I guess, yeah. Do you class it as being four?
Well, with a twin delivery, you labour and then you give birth. So that counts as labour part one. And then the labour part two starts again when you start contracting again. And then the second twin's born. Yeah, I guess.
I think you should have
I've been pregnant three times. That is enough.
Yeah.
So first time I was newly qualified midwife. I'd been qualified a year when I had Anya. Simon and I were really young when we had her. I was 20. Just coming up to 23. I can't remember how old I am now. Do you know how old you are?
38. How old are you?
I'm 32, but I think I'm 33, but I'm not.
You do start to lose, like in your 30s, you definitely start to lose track.
Yeah.
When I was 36, I genuinely was one day, I couldn't remember if I was 36 or 37, and it really freaked me out. And I had to count back from 1978 to today to work it out.
Yeah, it is. Because it's like 30, you know, the big ones, and then you forget. Anyway, I think I was almost 23 when I had Anya, and Simon was 25.
And what was that like? Because obviously, I'm guessing that loads of your friends weren't at that stage.
None of them were. No one. Everyone was like, everyone had finished uni and either were taking like another gap year and deciding what to do, or just started a job straight away. So no one was having kids. So yeah, we have this slightly unusual situation. So Anya was born in Bristol, where we were living at the time. That's where we were at uni, so we stayed on.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then we moved when she was 8 weeks old to London. So that birth, in my head, I think I thought, I'm young, so I'll probably be all right. I had two midwives who I knew really well, who were my like mentors when I was a student. And one of them was at Glastonbury and came back from Glastonbury to deliver her. I know. Good old Claire Norrie. I still see her. We still keep in touch and hang see each other every year. So I didn't really... I just kind of thought, oh, it'll be fine. And I never thought anything else. And I don't think I really was prepared for it at all. And I don't think Simon was prepared. He was so young. And I think he was just, like, quite blown away by it all. I mean, we'd only been together a year when I got pregnant. And then, like, you have to watch your girlfriend give birth. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You've got to be prepared for that, haven't
you? I mean,
you?
There's, yeah. You see everything, don't you?
And more.
And more. So it was it textbook, as in, on paper, it was completely straightforward. Oh, your cat just saw me and hissed at me.
Do you know what? It's not my cat. It's the neighbour's cat. Lola.
Lola.
Hey, Lola. Ooh,
she looks like a witch's cat.
She comes in and just, like, hangs with us. It's quite nice.
Hi, Lola.
Hey, Lola, come and be on the podcast.
Oh, she's quite friendly. So it was fine, but it was slow at the beginning, and then my waters were broken, and then it was, like, really fast, and I, like, went from 5 centimetres to 10 in, like, 2 hours. And I remember that was just, like, it's like being on some kind of, like, trip.
Mm.
Like, I was totally out. It was just out-of-body experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just so fast. And then she came out and I was just, like, completely shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, now I just need to sleep for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, like, obviously you can't.
And here's your baby. And I just don't... It was almost like in my head, I just had to get through the birth.
Mm.
And I called my mum. I don't even remember calling her when Annie was still, like, on me, skin to skin, cord still attached. And all I said to her was, like, I've done it. I've done... And mum was like, what? And I was like, oh, I've had the baby. I've done it. And then she was like, oh, you know, what's here about the baby? Yeah, like, oh, my yeah. God, what is it? And I was just like, oh.
It's so funny, though, isn't it? Because I really feel like so much emphasis, like, you go to your NCT classes and so much emphasis is put on the birth.
The birth.
And actually, that's kind of just the beginning.
It's just a tiny bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then that was probably, you know, massive learning curve. First time mum. Breastfeeding actually went really well with her. I think I just accepted it for what it was, and we'd had made this decision to have this baby, and I just got on with it. And weirdly, I probably coped better then than I probably did later on,
because
It was just like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
And we had no money, and we were living in a really shitty flat that cost like 800 quid a month. I had no salary because I hadn't worked long enough. We'd moved to London. All my friends were having the time of their lives. Simon was like on a... like post-grad salary. We literally had not a penny. Like, looking back, I'm like, how
did you do it?
Yeah,
yeah. So then second time round, did you find it easier or harder?
Second time round was planned, so then we got married and we moved out of that grotty flat, which I really hated, into a house that was really nice, and then I felt a bit more like a grown-up, and planned a home birth. So this is Marnie. Planned a home birth, and then felt definitely more prepared, didn't do any classes or anything, and just thought, I'll be fine. I think because I'd had a normal birth first time, I was like, it'll be fine. And then I got something called obstetric cholestasis, which is when you get the severe itching, and it's to do with bile acids in your liver. I literally finished work, and a week later, I was like, oh my God, I'm so itchy. And I just knew, I was like, I'm going to have to go and get my bloods tested. So, yeah, bloods came back. I had obstetric cholestasis, which everyone was quite baffled with because I didn't have it with Anya, and normally you have it with each one.
Right.
Whether I had it and didn't have any signs, I don't know, with her. And so I was induced, so I didn't get to have my home birth.
Oh, no. That must be really disappointing.
Really crap. And the decision was made, yeah, you need to be induced tomorrow. And I just sort of went with it. I was like, okay, fine. You've just got to do it. And I had a really fast and really horrible induction, where I had like a propess and then went into labour straight away, and she was born like 3 hours later.
So already it feels like both experiences were very different.
Yeah, but both, I felt quite shocked. I was in like an induction bay where I work, like labouring really hard, and like couldn't even speak. Like I was trying to say, this is happening really quickly. You need to tell the midwife, to my husband, Simon, we need to go into another room. Like, I don't want to be in the induction bed. And I've looked after him in this situation, but it was just like contractions were like every minute.
What's it like being a midwife in that situation? Because you kind of know what's going on.
You know what's going on.
And what should be happening.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not great. I mean, it's quite hard to leave your midwife hat really off because you're constantly like in this. And then I had a team of midwives who were going to deliver me at home. And then she came in and managed to get me in the pool. And then I remember feeling like I needed to push and then went into transition really quickly. And she was born really quickly. But afterwards, I felt amazing. Whereas after Anya, I think I was just completely shocked. And I think I lost probably a little bit more than they estimated my blood loss last time. Because I remember, like, the next day, I was white as a sheet on the postnatal ward. And all these midwives were like, are you okay? Whereas this time, I felt amazing, hardly lost any blood, and went home, like, 2 hours later.
Wow. So did you have... Cause I've heard people talking about that real boost of... You know, what is it? Is it, like,
oxytocin? Yeah. I felt amazing. Did I dip? Not really. I didn't get teary with either of the first girls. Okay. And I remember, like, my midwife coming around and being like, it's day five, are you okay? And I was like, I feel fine. So I really was fine afterwards. But, you know, then I had a 3.5-year-old. Simon goes back to work and you're back doing nursery run. So I definitely felt really tired. So then we were like, yeah, our family's done. But we both always wanted a third because we're both one of three.
Okay.
And I've kind of copied what my mum did. So she had exactly the same age gap between my brother, my sister and me.
Oh, really?
So when Marnie was coming up to 5, I sort of talked about it again. You have to convince the boys, really, don't you? They're the hard ones to convince, even though we're the ones that are going to be doing it.
What is with that? We're the ones who have to go through the pregnancy and the birth.
They get to do the best bit.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I really do want a third. And Simon was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. So I was like, oh, okay. So we hadn't even, like, it was like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. We were going to Brazil for a wedding. I had a coil, which I had taken out. But we were both quite busy with work. And I was just signing my book deal, coming up to signing. So it was like, it was just like, let's just have sex and have fun.
Oh, hang on.
On that note.
Yes.
Delivery. What'd you get?
I have no idea what it is. I always think it's so funny. When you sign for a parcel, it's never your signature. It's always just like a crazy scribble.
We get stuff that's just saying modern fod now. So cringy.
Living the brand.
So got pregnant, within... I know it's really annoying saying that, but not even trying. I wasn't doing any of that. Like, I just was like, well, let's shag. See what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Simon, he was like, yay, we get to shag more. And then I got pregnant really quickly. He's like, every time. He wanted more to get pregnant. And then very early pregnancy, we were going to a wedding in France. I knew I was pregnant even before I tested. My period was late. You just know. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely pregnant. So I did a test just before we went to this wedding. And it was like, yes. I was like, oh, that's great. But I was like, oh, this wedding, damn it. And it was like a raw fish and champagne Boozy. And all the cheeses.
Yeah, and you just want to go and have fun and enjoy it.
And I kind of think, oh, should I have just not tested? But you just know.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Anyway, I had this great time and came back and met, was the week of book signing and then bled. Oh. And I was like, meh. 5-6 weeks. I was quite relaxed about it. I think 1 in 3 pregnancies end in miscarriage. I always felt that I was lucky that I'd had 2 really straightforward pregnancies, but decided to have a scan when I was at work. And then they were like, so there's 1 sac and there's definitely a pregnancy there. And there's another sac, but it's really small and we can't really see anything in it. So I think it was a twin pregnancy and that's why you've bled. And I was like, oh, thank goodness, really.
Because
we don't want twins. They were like, come back in 2 weeks. So I came back and they were like, yeah, it's twins.
Oh, my goodness. And have you got any kind of history of twins in your family?
Well, my dad's mum and aunt were twins, but no one knows enough about them, so we don't know if they're identical or not. So I guess there is that. But, yeah, you just don't expect it.
And what was the twin birth like? I mean, were you kind of mentally prepared for that?
So the whole pregnancy was totally different because it was everything... Like, it was almost just getting to each week. I didn't buy anything. I couldn't enjoy anything. You know, brands were contacting me, wanting to send stuff. And I was just like, I don't want anything.
Why was that?
I was just too nervous. I had so many bleeds up until 20 weeks. I think once I got to, like, 28 weeks, I wrote a blog post about this. Sometimes when I was at work and if I had to go over to special care, I'd look at the babies that were, like, 28 weeks gestation. And I'd be like, okay, no, they're... You know,
they're okay.
And then I get to like 30 weeks I just never thought they would ever be born. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't even think of names. I just thought if I name them, or if I think about them as ever being my babies or part of this family, yeah. something will happen.
You're quite superstitious in that way.
Well, never have been before, but for this I was very, yeah, just didn't really, I could, almost couldn't enjoy any of it. So I had a doula. So I hired my friend, Becky Hands, who's a doula.
Who's in your book, isn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, and she changed everything for me. She basically looked after me, and she was incredible. And then obviously as the time went on, we had to start thinking about birth.
Yeah.
So I was like, I've got to get these babies out. And I got obstetric cholestasis again. And it was twice as bad. It was absolutely horrendous. So I was induced at 36 weeks. But even up until that point, I never thought, like, I would even bring these babies home.
Mm.
I remember packing my bag and I was like, you know, you pack everything for you and getting it. And I was like, oh, yeah, the babies. And, like, literally just putting, like, two nappies, two tiny baby grows and two little bobble hats. Because I was just like, I couldn't even go there.
Yeah, you couldn't visualise having two babies.
No, and Anya Money really wanted to, like, pick something and put it in the bag. Anyway, I was induced. I went in the Friday morning. I was really calm, almost, like, a bit serene, really. I was just like, okay. Again, it was almost just a process. I had a pessary. No, I didn't. I had my waters broken, and then I had the drip. And then they were born within like 3 hours, and it was the best birth.
Was it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
How weird. I just assumed that most twin or multiple births were C-sections.
Yeah. I had the choice, but I didn't want a section. I didn't want to recover unless I had to. Mm. I didn't want to recover from elective or C-section with twins. I just thought, I think it would have been harder for me having had two vaginal births. You know, I've looked after women that have said, you know, it's physically so much harder because you can't, you know, you're really stuck. And
yeah.
I just thought with two babies to breastfeed, that's how I used to breastfeed them, like that.
Did you have like a double pump? Did you have a whole kind of like double co-action thing?
No, I didn't use one. Yeah. I did have a pump, but it wasn't a double.
Okay.
I always seem to have enough milk, so I just breastfeed one, breastfeed the other, and then pump. Yeah, I just sort of, I don't know, I was the most relaxed. I must have had the most amount of oxytocin.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you're making it sound like you were very relaxed.
My birth was incredible. Mm. I did hypnobirthing and did it properly, not just like,
because I did hypnobirthing and I don't think I did it properly. I went along to some sessions. Mm-hmm. I had some MP3 files, and it just, I feel like I probably didn't really immerse myself properly.
We properly did it. Simon really got into it.
Really?
Yeah, we did it every night. We would do the scripts, and then I'd listen to it as I fall asleep. And my doula taught him how to massage me. So I was so relaxed in that labour.
And do you think it really worked?
100%. And it really helped Simon, which was great.
That's really good. Because I really love the theory of hypnobirthing.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense that if you, you know way more about this than me, but obviously if oxytocin is being released, it relaxes everything. And obviously your baby will come out more easily.
Yeah.
It just makes so much more sense to me, you know.
I mean, they came out like within 15 minutes of each other.
That's crazy.
I had a bit of gas in there, I think, but I was mainly just, I had lavender and clary sage oil on a flannel, and my doula kept giving it to me under my nose, and I was like sniffing that, and then had my headphones in. Yeah, and they were born, they were fine. They were tiny, but they were fine. They didn't go to special care. And then I did 1 week in bed and 1 week on the sofa. And that's the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I think that's probably such a brilliant idea have no one come round.
No one. It was freezing. It was January. It's absolutely freezing. It snowed. And we were just in this amazing cocoon. It was so good. I loved it. And I felt the most rested.
Did you have to kind of almost make yourself do that, though?
We had like a plan before. Mm. So we kind of managed people's expectations. So the first thing was we talked to Anya and Marnie and we said, you'll be going back to school as normal. Daddy will take you every day. And Daddy will pick you up. And they still go to their after school clubs. So it's a slightly longer day. So nothing would change. So for us, we just wanted them to still be in their same routine. Mm. So that didn't affect them so much. We didn't see anyone. So we just said to family, like, we'll let you know. And, you know, nowadays you can just WhatsApp and video call people. You know, there's loads of ways of letting people see. And people just really respected that. And then a really good friend of mine who used to live at the Rossmoy Road left me like food parcels. Oh. And people sent me just food. It was brilliant.
That's what you
need. I only got one bunch of flowers.
Well, you know, our friend Steph is...
I know. I was a bit like, get it now. No, it's fine.
No, I honestly think that Steph's business idea, don't buy her flowers, is genius. Because when you've had a baby, the last thing you need is flowers.
To look after something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just got given food. Someone sent me the most amazing chocolate brownies from a company. They're like all wrapped in brown paper. You know when you're like, that is a chocolate brownie. They were so good. A couple of weeks later, I reordered them because they were so good.
Amazing.
I must remember the name of them because they're a good one. Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, we just watched box sets. We ate all the amazing food that my mum had frozen and shoved in the freezer. And the only people that came were the midwives and my doula. It was the best.
Sounds amazing.
I loved it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So your book is described as the no-nonsense guide to pregnancy and birth. Do you feel like there's quite a lot of nonsense around out there?
I think it's changing. I think there's a shift in all of this, isn't there? Pregnancy, motherhood. I think blogs and Instagram are amazing. I mean, I wish this had been around when Anya's now 10. Mm. There was nothing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it's just me. But I don't want to say anything because people might think I'm a bad mum. And I was like, I'm only 23, so I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
So the no-nonsense thing. I mean, I think people are shifting away from books like the Gina Ford type books, aren't they? And I know she works for a lot of women, and that's brilliant. And I always say to people, if it works for you. But I did find from writing my blog that people wanted more. They wanted a different approach, a different type of voice.
Yeah.
A slightly modern view on things. We can't expect women to just fit in one box. Mm. We can't be like, right, well, this is what's going to happen. Because everyone wants different things. You know, women want an elective C-section for whatever reason. That's fine. Some women want a bottle feed, and that's fine. And I think as midwives, we've got to start adapting to the change in women these days. Women are having babies later, putting their careers first. Mm. You know, women are different now to our mothers.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
So I don't... It's hard to say nonsense because I think when it comes to clinical advice, it should never be nonsense. But I think in terms of, like, I don't know if you find this now, if you go to your GP with something, they don't sort of tell you what you need or what to do anymore. They go, right, well, this is what you could try, or you could try this.
Yeah.
And these are the side effects on both of these. What would you like to do?
Yeah, it's your decision.
Yeah, it's totally patient-led now. And I think people are like, oh, I wanted you to tell me what to do.
You're the expert.
Yeah.
And then what about all the negative messages? After I gave birth, I felt like I need to tell everyone I've ever met how traumatic I found birth.
Yeah.
Because that's going to help everyone. And that's the best thing I can do. That's how I can serve the world.
Oh.
And not realising that's the worst thing you can do. Like, to put my negative experiences onto, you know, to put them out there and to put it onto other people.
But you obviously needed to put it somewhere. You needed to talk to someone about it.
That's why I started a blog.
So I think negative birth experience shouldn't be shushed. I don't think people should be like, shh, don't. But you need to know what to do with that information. Mm. You need to go and have a debrief with someone about a negative birth, because otherwise, where's that negativity going to go?
Yeah.
You're either going to put it on other pregnant women, which obviously isn't helpful.
No.
Or it's going to eat you up inside.
Yeah.
And then years later, you're going to go,
yeah. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. So when my child was 18 months old, I was reading a blog post by a friend of ours, Alice, talking about her experience with PND. And I was like, oh my God, I think I had PND. And that's probably how it all came about.
Did you go to the GP?
No.
Do you think you'd cured it?
No, I was still having like almost like aftershocks of it. So I'd be walking along at that point. I'd be walking along going to work. I worked at Look magazine at the time, and I'd be walking along, and I'd see a mum pushing a buggy, and I would feel utter sympathy for her, thinking, "Oh my god, you've got to spend your day with your child. Like, I'm off to work." And I was like, "Okay, that's not normal. That's not a normal reaction to have when you see a mum pushing a buggy." So I was aware that I was still feeling the after effects of it, but didn't feel like going to the doctor at that point would have done anything. Maybe it would have done.
Maybe. I think a lot of it is from your birth. I think you had... Well, I'm not even...
Yeah.
But I do... I think post-traumatic stress from a delivery, then the effect that has on how you view yourself as a mother and how you view your baby, you know, it just goes on and on.
It's really hard though, isn't it? Because when you're... Especially when you're going through it first time round, you don't know what's normal.
No.
And you're kind of relying on health professionals or even just like your family and friends to take you to one side and go, this isn't normal. And if no one does that and if you don't realise it, then you're just on your merry way thinking that, you know...
It's when you did a... You showed a picture, I think it was on your Instagram stories, of like an Ella's Kitchen pouch, and you were like, oh my God, if anything can bring you back to...
Yeah. I was in Tesco and I saw this Ella's Kitchen pouch, and I just got this kind of like almost like a punch in my gut. It just took me back to when my daughter was about 8 months old, and I was probably at my lowest point. And yeah, it's crazy how just seeing little things like that can just you know, trigger.
Oh my God, never take me back there again.
Yeah, which is, you know, bonkers. And I kind of feel like I feel really envious of women. Like, you were just describing your experience having the twins and how amazing you felt and how you were in this little cocoon, this little bubble.
I'm sitting here. I have four kids to get there.
Yeah, well, that's it. I need to have three more, clearly. But yeah, I feel real envy. Like, I just feel like, but in a nice way, not in a horrible, jealous way.
Yeah.
Just a kind of like, I really want to experience that.
Yeah, of course. Because you're a woman and, you know, we're told we're here to have babies, ultimately.
Yeah. So what was in your hospital bag? Because you get so many kind of, you know, articles and, you know, things telling you what were like the three things.
Yeah, I did that in the book. I was like, got to get this right.
Yeah. What were the three things that you were like?
For me or for baby?
For you.
Yeah, because I think the baby stuff is
whatever.
So my first rule, or my first thing to always remind yourself when you're doing a hospital bag, is hospitals are the temperature of the sun, even in the winter. Because they have to be really warm, and the beds are plastic mattresses, and everything's plasticky, so you sweat.
Wipe clean.
So you want the coolest, most breathable material, so it has to be cotton. So for me, I had a, like, just, you could wear your husband's shirt, or you could just buy, like, in M&S, they sell, like, not, like Wee Willy Winky type shirts.
Wee Willy Winky, yeah.
You need nightshirts. a cotton. Don't have stretch in it.
Yeah.
Has to be cotton, shirt, nightshirt, short sleeves, ideally, or whatever. But so it's long. That's my number one tip. Because then you've got buttons for breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And also, it's just so much cooler than a tight black clip down polyester vest.
Yeah.
What?
Cool in the temperature sense, not cool in the hip sense.
I actually love my nightshirt. I still have it.
Do you?
It was my Christmas present. It was from Toast, which is quite a expensive brand. But for Christmas, I was like, you know, what do you want? Because obviously there's nothing when you're like 10 months pregnant with twins, because you look about 10 months pregnant when you're about 7 months pregnant. And I said, all I want is a really lovely cotton, like Indian cotton nightshirt. And I sent him a link to it, and it was £200. But I still wear it.
Amazing. Like,
and I love it.
So on a cost per wear basis.
So that's, yeah. I would say I wear it. I wear it all through the winter and all through summer. But obviously, you could go to M&S and just buy a men's cotton long nightshirt.
Yeah.
So that one. My second one is, you know, like when you have a baby and everyone tells you to buy maternity pads and big black knickers.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, really?
New thing. Tenor lady pants. They are hands down the best thing. So basically, after you have a vaginal birth, you bleed heavily. And I think people don't realise how heavily you bleed. It's not like a heavy period.
No.
Because you stand up and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's really heavy.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And you pass
it?
Like clots the size of liver.
Yeah, and if no one prepares you for that, you think something's wrong.
I know. So what I find the problem with those pads is they move. And you don't want ones with wings because it's all plasticky and sticky. and you sit down, and then you've like got a little blood patch on your nice white shirt. No, not white, not white. So Tenor Lady make pants, which are incontinence pants. Okay, so all glamour aside, so it's like a nappy. So it's a built-in pair of pants with a pad. So once you've filled it,
yeah,
you just chuck the whole thing away.
And the pants section, is it quite breathable or is it plasticky?
No, it's amazing. Oh. They were and really stretchy, so you could use them after a C-section as well.
Oh, brilliant.
So after I had the twins, I probably wore those for 24 hours while the bleeding was every time you feed, massive gush, every time you stand up. They were amazing.
Oh, brilliant.
And you'd have to do all that washing of your big black pants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you go into pants. When your bleeding lessens and you go into a slightly less surfboard type pad.
Then it's the big black pants.
Yeah, get old pants. And then my third tip is I drank loads of coconut water in labour. It was really good. Really good.
And what is it? Is there like potassium in it or what is it?
Well, it's got loads of electrolytes. I didn't drink any, like, I can't stand Lucozade and it's fizzy and I just don't want to be burping. Coconut water, I drank about two of those massive cartons.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love
that.
Can
I have one more?
I'll go on then.
A wide headband. Fringe.
Yes.
But for anything, off the face.
I feel like I need to embrace this whole wide headband thing because I've seen you wearing them when you're on holiday.
Yeah, I didn't have a trendy really one like that on. I just had like a black stretchy one. But I did put my makeup bag in my hospital bag for the next day, you know.
Yeah.
Photos.
I think it's fine to do that. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not a problem to want to look nice.
I took my hair straighteners in and my hair dryer.
You did not.
Yeah, I did.
Amazing.
My hair's a bit frizzy and I wanted to blow dry my hair.
Well, these are photographs, I guess, that you are going to be putting on Facebook.
Yeah.
Everyone gets to see them. Yeah. You want to look semi-decent, don't you?
Yeah, I don't mind all that.
I love that you took your straighteners.
Just to do, you know, understand the fringe situation. Alison,
we need to have a conversation about fringes because we go to the same hairdressers, don't we?
Tomorrow, I'm so excited.
But I kind of feel like I need to get some fringe tips from you because yesterday my fringe basically looked like Garth from Wayne's World.
Oh my god, it was so funny, your Instagram story. Alison has the best Instagram stories. I don't look at all of Instagram stories because it can take up about 5 hours of your day.
Yeah,
but I click on my faves. You. Susie. Steph Douglas.
Oh yeah, she's good.
She's fringe and she often, you can tell when she's going to have a jacket potato for dinner because her fringe goes back.
Why? What's that? What's the link?
Well, I think she just goes like work mode, you know, doing events, looking mega. She gets home, she's in her comforts, her fringe is back and she's having a jacket potato.
I love that.
Often Doug's out. Love you, Steph. Get her on the show. She's so good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love her. She's one of my favourites. So quick fire questions for you. Best post-birth refreshments? You've given birth. What do you eat and drink?
What, like straight after?
Yeah.
Oh, a cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
Yeah, cup of tea. And a really lovely friend of mine did me the food bag for after the babies were born. And she went to M&S and she put the best things in there.
Like what was in there?
Oh my god, like the best cookies, like double chocolate Belgium hazelnut cookies. Oh, like the posh ones.
Yeah.
Like some really nice flapjacks, fruit, oranges are always really nice, or like berries, like strawberries, blueberries.
Yeah.
Then after the twins were born, we went down to the postnatal ward and I had it in my own room. Work perk, that was
nice.
And it was about six or seven o'clock. It was a Friday, and I'd already wolfed down the hospital lasagna because she's just so hungry after that. And I had no space when I was pregnant with the twins, and suddenly I was like, oh. I actually lost weight when I was pregnant with the
Did
twins.
You?
Yeah, because I couldn't eat. I was so compacted with baby.
So you were like, right, I'm gonna make up for lost time.
Yeah, and we got down to the ward, and Simon, you know, was probably like, oh, I'm really hungry and tired. Anyway, and I was like,
Simon said that. Oh my goodness.
And he was,
you're hungry and tired.
On a little pull out bed, bless him, on a plastic bed. Anyway, and we deliveried and we had the best pizza from this pizza place in Camberwell.
It wouldn't occur to me to deliver you to a hospital.
Yeah, and Simon came back with like pizza boxes like this. He was giving some to midwives, bless him. And we had a beer. There's a photo of me breastfeeding. Eating a pizza with a little beer.
I bet the Daily Mail were straight onto that.
Oh my, just awful. Didn't share that one. It was so lovely. We were just we couldn't stop laughing. We just thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's so
just
nice.
Watching Graham Norton on telly.
I love
it. So just anything that, obviously you can feel a bit sick sometimes after labour and your stomach's got to get used to that space again.
Yeah.
So don't go mental and have a massive three-course dinner.
No. These are meant to be quick-fire questions, Clemmy. That was way too long an answer.
Sorry.
Come on.
Go.
Pick up the pace.
I'm so chatty.
Do you do your pelvic floor exercises?
I did, and then I didn't, and now we're having issues.
I have those issues.
Do you?
In fact, I did a thing with Simon recently. We both went and played some tennis with Tim Henman.
Oh, yes.
And the Wimbledon coach was getting us to run round and do star jumps and all sorts.
Did you do them?
And I started doing them and I was like, I'm going to stop doing this right now because I can feel a little trickle. It's not
and
good.
And then Simon was there just like...
He was
Were there other mums there?
Yeah, there were a few other mums. Yeah, it was... they were all getting involved and I was feeling a bit jealous of their pelvic floor strength.
I'm going to start talking about it soon, pelvic floors. It's my next thing I think we need to talk about.
Is it your next book? It's The Pelvic Floor by Clemmy Hooper.
Pissy Pants by Clemmy Hooper. Hashtag. I'm going to talk about it quite soon. Can't decide when I'm going to do it, but it's going to happen. Because I think after the body positivity thing I did, that went, like, people were just like, yes.
That went crazy, didn't it?
I'm going
to
talk about the pelvic floor.
Yeah. Let's just talk about that for a minute, because I really feel like that was such a brilliant thing. So I got involved and I spoke about it as well. But I really feel like you sharing that picture of you wearing a bikini.
Daily Mail loved that, didn't they?
Yeah. I think that is kind of like a benchmark of, have you had a good day?
Yeah.
Have you pissed off the Daily Mail?
Yes.
Tick. Yeah, great day.
My granny was like, I really liked it, but I'm not sure she had to put her finger up. I was like, okay, granny, you probably had a good point. She's 96.
Yeah, bless her. But I just feel like you just showing, you know, this is... Because, you know, you look great when you're out and about wearing your dresses, wearing your outfits. And, you know, so many people kind of compare what you look like to themselves.
Yeah.
So just seeing you wearing your bikini, you know, looking really normal.
I loved your blog post about it, because you went on holiday with your mum, didn't you?
Yes.
And you just like, you just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And no one cares.
No one cares.
Does Grace care?
No, absolutely not. You know, no one does, apart from you in your head. And yeah, the whole kind of body positivity movement recently has changed the way I feel about myself, and I'm just one person, so if it has done that for me, then it will have done it for
everyone
else.
I get DMs now every day from people going, especially because it's warmer, I haven't worn shorts since I was 15, and I thought, fuck it, it's boiling hot, I'm gonna wear shorts, and send me a picture of them shorts. I'm like, you look great, why are you hiding your legs? Oh, I've got thread veins. I'm like,
no one cares.
If we point out all that stuff, it's just
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Again, not a quickfire answer.
I think you need like yes or no answers.
I know. These are rubbish quickfire questions, clearly. Instagram announced they're closing tomorrow. What do you do with all of that extra time?
Oh my God. I would sit in a dark room.
Rocking.
Yeah. Oh God, do you know what? I would probably go for a swim and then have a massage and clean my house. No, nothing would change, would I? I'd still have four kids. And, I'd probably answer the millions of emails over the years that I've never answered.
Get inbox zero.
Oh, imagine.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Never happens. Never gets to the bottom. It's like the ironing washing pile.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
Mine's in the kitchen. When I was making a cup of tea, I'm surprised you weren't eyeing up my enviable ironing pile.
Well, mine's on the line, so as it's raining, it's probably doing quite well out there.
Great. What's been your most embarrassing parenting moment of all time?
How many have we got?
Just the one, the most embarrassing.
Probably when my daughter said, fuck it, at soft play. That was quite good.
How old was she?
Like 3. I mean, it was great, wasn't it? We're at soft play and she'd lost her socks. So, you know, you take your socks and your shoes and put it in the little thing.
Yeah, little cubby holes.
And she'd gotten in her socks and she came out with no socks. And I was just like, oh my God, can you find your socks? Come on, we have to go. She's like, oh, Mommy, I don't know where they are. And I was like, well, they must be in the ball pit or somewhere. You've taken them off and they're in there. She's like, oh, no. And I was like, okay, well, it doesn't matter. We'll just go. She's like, yeah, just fuck it. I don't know who heard, but we left pretty quickly.
Oh my goodness. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Did anyone react?
I don't know if anyone heard, but I just thought it was great. She said it in context, at least.
Yeah, well, you know, 10 out of 10 for context.
Just walked away, I was like, do, 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 do.
Pretend that didn't happen.
I think I'm more likely to embarrass them, to be honest, rather than embarrass me. I don't really get that embarrassed by my kids.
Are they at that stage where they're like, Mum, you're so embarrassing?
Yeah, if I'm dancing in the kitchen, Anya's like, this is so cringy. Cringy.
Oh,
babe.
Love it. You've got to embarrass your kids though. That's, you know.
I know. And also, I'm like, I'm young. I'm not like some old, like, sad mum. I'm like a young, cool mum.
And that's why you're not cool, because you think you are.
This is true. Anya was like, why are you wearing trainers with your dress, mum? I don't know if that goes. I'm like, oh, she's like a little... She's always got an opinion.
A cool barometer. Mm. Brilliant. So, Clemmy Hooper, what's really in your bag? Do you have your bag with you?
I've got a new bag.
A new bag.
I bought myself a bag.
Let's have a look. Oh, it's pretty. It's a mulberry.
It's a mulberry.
Is it black?
It's black.
With
black
a lovely frame. Chain.
Yeah. So, the reason I bought this bag is because I've always wanted... like a designer handbag, and I don't own one.
Oh.
And I've always banged on about Simon to get me one, you know, when he does work trips. Never.
But instead, he's like buying you £200 90s. I mean,
exactly.
Simon, come on.
Simon. So I decided that I was going to buy myself a bag because you can't wait for people to buy stuff. It's sometimes nicer to buy for yourself.
That's true.
And it was a book. It's a book bag present. So I bought it and I waited a year. I wanted it a year ago and I waited. It's not the Clemmy. There was a mulberry clutch called the Clemmy.
This is more practical, though, to be fair.
It's called the Clifton.
So what's in it?
Okay, my purse.
Black purse.
This is actually new. I've downsized on a purse. I used to have, like, proper mum-sized purse.
Yeah.
And I've gone to this.
It's got a gold innard.
That's all you need, though.
Yeah.
You actually don't need a purse anymore.
You don't. I basically have one of those, travel card wallets I use as a purse.
Yeah, that's all you need. And you can never do everything on your phone.
Exactly.
Car key.
Oh,
this is a very boring. I told you it was bad. A COS voucher.
Nice.
Phone, OVS. And my favourite Lord & Berry lipstick.
And what colour is it?
It is Vogue. And this was in my goodie bag from my book launch.
Ah.
And you couldn't come.
I know, I couldn't make it. I was in hospital having an operation.
You
I was so gutted.
Well.
No.
But this is my favourite red in the entire world, and this brand, Lord & Berry, is the best.
I've never heard of Lord & Berry.
I know, it's good, isn't it? This is a sample size. I'm on my second. When was my launch? February.
And where can you buy them? On online? On the Tinterweb?
On the Tinterweb. Who goes into shops anymore?
No.
Don't think you can get it in Superdrug. And that's all I've got in my bag. So when I'm not with the kids, I love a just minimal.
A small bag.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's not very like...
I'm disappointed you haven't got a lot of crap in there.
I know. Well, no, how can you? I've got to look after it.
That's true.
I don't want, like, squash raisins in my mulberry. If I bought the baby bag,
there's,
like, a tampon, always raisins,
I'm
going
to ask you again in a year what's in your mulberry, and it'll be a different story.
No! Poor mulberry.
Listen, Clemmy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Did you ask me everything?
Pretty much, yeah.
I say too much.
Is there more that you want to say?
No, I'm fine.
Are you all good?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Guys.
Or did that turn into a bit of a therapy session for me at one point? Isn't Clemmy brilliant? I cannot be the only person having a little bit of a fangirl moment over her. But thank you for tuning in. For more from me, head over to my blog, notanothermummyblog.com, and I'll catch you in the next episode with another brilliant guest.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.